Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall down, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
I've got to try and hold that. Jesus, when he talked to people, he used many ordinary and mundane things. And, you know, as I thought about the different things, he would, you know, you could think he would pick grand. I've picked something quite grand here because that's what we do. But Jesus picked the ordinary things. And, you know, who would go round and say something like, you know, I am a loaf of bread. You know, trying to impress. I am the bread of life. It's such a mundane thing. Or I am a gate. That's the kind of thing Jesus said. You know, I am a gate. You know, most people, if they were trying to big themselves up, would pick something big and important, wouldn't they? You know, I am something grand, you know, but I am a gate. I am a loaf of bread. I am a rock. That kind of thing. And that's how Jesus was. But he spoke to the people, and he just used the things that came into their life. It was interesting, really, because yesterday I went out for a run. And while I was out running, I came across a fire that some workmen must have had in the woods the day before, and it was just a pile of ash and smouldering away, and I couldn't help but get there and reignite it and light it up. And I thought, you know, I spent myself a little half hour to 45 minutes having a little warm by the fire in the woods. But in the Bible, the psalmist and people like Jesus would have picked up on that, and they would have said, Jesus, you know, I am your warmth, your heat. You know, they would pick on the ordinary, the things that they came across, the things that they saw. And as I was listening through my Bible, as I've been doing, and actually this came from, obviously, from that and from I was watching something on telly, and both these, the thoughts came together on this. And when Jesus preached the greatest message that some people would say has ever been spoken, the Sermon on the Mount. And if you want to read it, it's something that perhaps one should read. I mean, I don't say that I do, but perhaps you should go through it once a year, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. And as Jesus goes through the Sermon on the Mount and he does all that, he gets to the end of it, and then he says the words that we've got here. You know, if you can have listened to what I've said, and you can walk away now, and you can ignore it. And if you ignore what I've said, that's like you've built your house on the sand. And the rain comes and washes it away. And I could have done a picture of a sandcastle. You know, you go to the beach and you build a little sandcastle, and you watch the tide come in, and slowly it eats away at it, and then after it's moved, the tide's moved in, what's left of the sandcastle? Nothing. You won't even see. You might see a little dimple in the sand. That's what's left. And that's the kind of message he was getting over. If you ignore my words, it's like the man who built his house on the sand. There'll be nothing left of your life if you ignore what Jesus said. And he says, the person who listens to my words and puts them into practice is like a man who builds his house on a rock. And as I thought about this, we live in the other house in Peace Pottage. I had to build a little, well, I didn't have to, chose to, I should say, build a little extension. And I dug down, and then I got in touch with the building's regs people, and they said, you know, I've dug so far, because you don't have to have the plans as such. And I was just getting advice, and I said, I've come across this iron stone. And they said, oh, that's fine. Once you get onto that, you know, that's firm, that'll do good as a foundation. And as I thought about all this, when you build down and you can come across rock, you attach to something much bigger, don't you? And when I was looking into this, I was looking at the rock structure of Sussex, you know, and sometimes you go over to East Grinstead and you see rocks sticking out, and certain places, if you go on footpaths, you'll see sometimes a ridge of rock. And if you build on that rock, you're attaching to something that might go 50 miles that way and 50 miles that way. And underground, you've got this big permanent structure that you're attaching to. If you build, I mean, here probably we're only going to land on clay, and that's what you have to do. But if you have the choice to get onto rock, you're attaching to something that is big, massive and permanent. And the funny thing is, I mean, in this picture we can see the rock, but in real life, if you go down that foundation, that conservatory I built, you couldn't see the rock. It was hidden, but it was there holding the house up, and that house was connected to that was connected to the rock strata, or the iron stone that's found in Sussex. So it makes your building much bigger. Now, someone's already guessed this building, and it's an ancient building, and it goes back many, many years. It's in old Celtic language. And I'm going to try and do some justice for it. It's quite difficult when you're trying to draw. But as I was, trying to put my thoughts together on this, and thinking about the foundation that and the rock, and I thought about this message that Jesus preached, and the words that he gave to us. And when he went through this message, he picked different topics. And he gave a little soundbite in it that we can often remember as he went through the Sermon on the Mount. And we remember a lot of the soundbites. For example, when he's talking about treasure and wealth and investing, he says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, or where thieves break in and steal. And he's telling people not to just invest in this world. Think of the bigger picture. If your life is just geared up to this world, one day, when the day of reckoning, you've built something that is just nothing. So build up, and he signs up for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And a bit later he goes, no one can serve two masters, for either he will serve one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and money. One of those becomes a priority in our lives. So Jesus is saying, you know, we obviously have to have money in our lives, don't we? But things like money, they become a priority and we can't serve the two. But he puts those things together. And then there's other little sound bites that he picks on. Hang on, I'm just trying to get a little bit of shade in here. Got to try and blend it. And someone's already guessed where this is. It's quite a famous place. Another part of his talk is where he says, talking about worrying. You know, we worry, don't we? We wonder about this and worry about all sorts of things. And what does he say about worrying? He says, do not worry. Now, it's easy. You could say, oh, it's easy to say that. But he says it, do not worry. And he says, one of the sound bites he comes, and this is, these things were on my mind, and that's why I prayed them over Michael. But they're so relevant for all of us. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So all you can either think about all those things that you can worry about. Those can be priority in your life. And you can spend your life concerned about those things and completely dwelling on them and putting those as number one in your life. Or you can put God first and his righteousness and his holy ways, and then he'll add those things to you. So you've got to, you can either go one way and worry continuously about these things and put God second or third or fourth. Or you can put God first and let him add those things into our lives. And, you know, he picks on these things because these were the things that people were always concerned about. Nothing's changed really, has it? It's however many years later, and that's what people are always concerned about. Jesus knew it. People will always... I look at my little collection of stuff here and it's just all a mess, you know, because... You know, get your hands like this, and you get all your colours sort of merging a bit. Another little, what about judging others? See, this is the message that he was preaching, and he goes, judging others, and he says this, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law of the prophets. And you see, these are simple principles. This is the message, the big message with all these sound bites that we know, was one big message. And at the end of it, he says, if you take notice of these sound bites, if you take notice of what I'm saying, if... you put them into practice, you're like a man who builds his house upon the rock. But if you don't, you're like a man built his house upon the sand, a sandcastle builder. And so that's what I'm trying to here put together for us. I know it's yellow on yellow. This is a... Does someone want to tell... Well, we know... I know one person knows where this is. I'm amazed that they recognise it, because I don't think I would have recognised it. just from the little drawing I'd done. Anyone know where it is? Yeah, it is. Edinburgh Castle. It's quite. I'm quite impressed, really. I hope mine looks like it. I've never seen it in real life, so I'm. But I have. Yeah. I've never been there, but I do know that it's. And why I've picked. One of the reasons I've picked on it, because they've built it on this big rock face here. And this rock area is supposed to be an extinct volcano. So this rock goes way down. And it's joined onto the mountain. It's a permanent foundation. And I thought, yeah, you know, when Jesus said, you build your house on the rock, it's supposed to be something permanent that goes on. And we're only seeing this little tip of it here, but I don't know how far down it goes. I'm no expert on volcanoes. It might go down hundreds of miles. I don't know. But that castle is nothing compared to the rock it's built on, is it? It's just a little small thing. And our lives are something small compared to the rock that we build it on. But we're attached to, if we build our lives on the word, the words that Jesus gives us, we are connecting into something much, much bigger, much deeper. And you know what? You don't always see the rock, do you? And we could say you don't always see God, do you? You know, you're on. It's a face, and yet, you know, he's hidden. You could say, and yet our lives can be built upon that rock. Is it starting to shape up? No. Right. Let's have a look. What were you up to now? And then as I thought about this, I was watching something on TV, and it struck me that there are different kingdoms, aren't there? There are different nations. And we live in this country, don't we? And what separates a different nation from another nation? And as I thought about this, because they were saying about the laws of this nation, and I thought, laws separate countries out, don't they? The different nations have different rules. So if I now decide to drive out of this car park and drive on the other side of the road, what happens? It doesn't work, does it? We have to abide. The laws of this country say you drive on the left. The laws of America, you drive on the right. That's a different country, has a different set of rules. They might be similar rules, but there are different rules. And also, what's another thing that's different between nations? Language can be, it doesn't have to be. Money can be as well. I was thinking of, language, money, currency. And as I was thinking about these things, I thought, see, Jesus kept on preaching about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And he used pictures to explain the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven was often... it has different principles, different rules that we have to live by. And that's what he came to preach. He came to preach a kingdom. A kingdom. And I thought about this, the different rules and the different things that we abide by. And if we try and bring... Whoops. The dirt off the other one. If we try and bring that, mix them up. But the kingdom of God has a different set of values, a different set of rules. And like if we drove out this car park and drove on the wrong side, we'd have an accident. We can't live, there are different rules. And as I thought about this, I thought Jesus is trying to teach us a set of values that are above most kingdoms of this earth. And if we live for the kingdom of this earth completely, so we put money first, and we put those rules of this land first, as opposed to God's kingdom, we're building a house on sand. But if we can put God's values and God's kingdom first, we're building a house on the rock. So that's... I've got to try and get some darkness into my picture, haven't I? Mm-hmm. It's got to go... It's quite... This, wrong colour. Try that one. So Jesus came preaching a different set of values, a different set of rules, different principles. Let me just get a little bit of colour along here. Be with me a minute. And as I thought about this, the currency of this world is selfishness and greed, and the currency of God's kingdom is love. And I've just been reading a book, and this chap said in the book, it's talking about heaven, and it says, will we look like we do when we get to heaven? Will we have our same looks? And he goes, oh no, because if we have our looks, he was disappointed that he would take his looks to heaven. See, he wanted to look a new look in heaven. But see, that was judging it by this world's values. Because looks, the physical looks that we have now, it'll be so unimportant in heaven, because the looks that we have now, one of them is just for attraction. That's what we can get concerned about. Are we attracted to each other? It won't matter then, because that'll be so unimportant. Because there isn't marriage or given in marriage, and I won't go into detail, in heaven. So there won't. I'm guessing there's not male and female in that respect. So looks might not count so much. So those things that we can value now, and we can spend all our time worrying about looks, our physical appearance, they won't be the kind of thing that you would judge someone on in heaven. And heaven has a different set of values. Heaven, when he talked about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about a different set of values. And the more we could understand the value system of heaven different to ours, that's why he was saying, all the things that you'll spend your life concerned about worrying about, it's irrelevant to heaven. It's irrelevant. And what you're concerned about is just a waste. And these things are just now that you'll spend your time. That's why they'll be washed away, because they go. And I was thinking about this when he was concerned about his looks, and I thought, yeah, because we worry about these things now, but when it comes to heaven, the currency of heaven is love. And so when you will be looked at in heaven, what will make you, wow, look at that person, is how much love you have. Because that's what it's all about. So it's the true love, which is, now not gooey love, the love that we're talking about is God's love, which is in Corinthians 13. I've got it written somewhere. 4-8. We can have it up there and have a little look at it. Love is patient. This is what counts in heaven. And when we get concerned about the physical things of this world, when we get concerned about how much money we got, whether we've got this and that, this is love is this is what heaven will be about. Are you patient? And if someone has all these things, they'll be like, then you'll be saying, wow, what a beautiful person. Those are the things that count, see? Love is kind, does not envy. Not gooey warm love. This is love. Does not boast. It is not proud. These are the kind of things. This is what we need to be concerned about for heaven. Oh, these things. And at the end of it, are these things what count to us? Or are we more concerned about, you know, physical appearance and things like that? Are we concerned about, you know, whether we've got the latest this or we've got that? And of course, we can't help but be concerned, can we? Because we live in this world. And but they are secondary. That's what the value system has to be turned round. They've got to be secondary. How's it? Is it getting there? Yeah. Slowly? I think I'm going to have to. What I want to get to really is, the point is that there are different values, and Jesus was trying to portray that. He was trying to get that across. And the things that we spend our time building, these what you build your house with, it says in one verse, are you going to build with hay, wood, stone? I mean, hay, wood and sticks, and when it comes to testing, it burns away. Or are you going to build a house on the proper foundation with proper building that counts? So we want to build our house. We want our house is our lives. It's not a house, not an extension. It's our lives we're talking about. Are we going to build our lives from now on sand, doing everything for the world's values? Are we going to build on rock, which is Jesus and his teachings? And just to get to towards the end, I think, Jesus said to his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, and we came across this, we were out street pastoring this week, and one man, he wanted to mix all the religions together and get the best things out of them all. Mix them together, take the best out of all of them. It's a nice idea, but it completely devalues Jesus. Who do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets, a good man, a good man. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock. Now, we can take it as Peter, but on this statement that Jesus is the Son of God, his church is built. So the doorway into the kingdom is through Jesus. And we have to put our... And in another verse, it talks about Jesus being the foundation stone. Jesus and his teachings and his kingdom and his values are the house that we need to build. We need to put him first, seek Jesus first and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God. And these worries that we have, that we could build our lives on, will come into place. The focus will come right. But we need to be building and choosing to build on the rock that is Christ. All the time. All the time. And if we spend our lives building on sand, the world's values, one day the water will come along and turn our life into a pile of nothing, flat, sandcastle in the tide. And you don't want to be a sandcastle in the tide, do you? You want to be a castle on a rock. That building, well, I don't know that building, but there's been a fort there for thousands of years. And that's the kind of life you want, something that stands firm through storms, that's attached to a big God who loves us. And I finish on that. So build your lives on Christ.